Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Be sure to lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. That is the text line and the phone line. So earlier today, we had on Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. We made a cut where we cut everything he had to say about Patrick Mahomes' injury, and we want to play it for you right now.
Yeah, I mean, here's my understanding where it is. Mahomes slated to do a very light workout today, which basically would mean, either something off to the side, jogging, something to elevate his heart rate to see if he has symptoms, or it could be a couple reps in practice. So I think that would be one thing. And it sounds like he has no symptoms, which is good. If he gets through today, if he has no setbacks and has no symptoms, then, I would think he'd be on track to play on Sunday, whether he practiced light today, is listed as practicing or not. So that's kind of where he is. Tomorrow he probably should be out in the field. Then you think Friday, if all goes well, he'd have a full practice, and he'd be good to go for Sunday. So I think it's headed in the right direction as of now.
So for people who maybe don't have the understanding of it, and also keeping in mind that you're not a doctor, what steps does the league need to see? What steps do the Chiefs need to see to feel comfortable to put Patrick Mahomes out on the field on Sunday against Buffalo?
Well, what's interesting about the concussion protocol is it actually has nothing to do with the Chiefs, how they feel, what they think. And that's why I think the concussion protocol is so interesting, is because it's not how anyone thinks. It's simply where he is in the progression, where he is in the protocol, and then does he pass each step? And of course, it's in the hands of the independent neurologist at the end to clear him. And so I think in a weird way, coaches like it because they don't have to make any decisions. They are literally just told he is good, yes or no, and that's how they proceed.
So that was from Ian Rappaport earlier today when he joined us on the show. Appreciate his time. Certainly very busy right now with the AFC Championship game and still two open jobs in the NFL. I think the optimism and the momentum is certainly pushing in the direction that Patrick Mahomes is going to play. By anything, I think if you look at the actions of the Kansas City Chiefs and just their own words today. So Andy Reid said this today earlier regarding Mahomes and him practicing.
Yeah, so he looked good. He's just he's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis. But today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps and he feels good. So, I mean, we're just going to follow this protocol as close as we possibly can. So.
Andy said right there that Patrick Mahomes took all the snaps. If you were concerned on who your starting quarterback was going to be, wouldn't you like to get Chad Henne a little bit of reps, a little bit of run with the first team? And if there was a chance that Mahomes wasn't going to play, you have Henne up to speed, ready, and he's doing the walkthroughs and he's taking the reps with the team. Like, the Chiefs haven't told us yet, but I continue to fully expect Friday for them to make the announcement that Patrick Mahomes has cleared the concussion protocol and that Patrick Mahomes will be starting on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Maybe they're just not worried about Chad Henne. They know that he's as accurate as Greg Maddux and as nimble as Mike Vick. We saw that in the last two plays of the game. In all seriousness, I agree with you. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to end up playing in this game because we haven't heard you haven't heard, Ian Rapoport hasn't heard, Adam Schefter, Adam Teicher, nobody that's plugged in with the Kansas City Chiefs has really said anything negative. And I understand there's a couple of things. One, it's the best player in the league. Two, the impact that he has on this team. And three, you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to be the guy that comes out and says, oh, Patrick's ready to go, or he's not, and then all of a sudden it's the opposite. Because quite frankly, if he plays, the Chiefs are more than likely, at least that's what Vegas tells us, going to be in the Super Bowl again. If he doesn't, the Chiefs are more than likely, at least that's what Vegas tells us, going to be going home. So the impact of what eventually happens is absolutely ginormous on this franchise, on this city, on this season, on eventually becoming a dynasty. I mean, it all basically comes down to if Patrick Mahomes plays. So I understand why there's so much concern and why we've talked about it so much. The good news is we haven't really heard anything bad about it.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about how sometimes you try to predict things and sometimes you get things 100% right. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. So today I was perusing the internet and I saw this headline. It's on ESPN.com if you guys don't believe me. Buffalo Bills can justify trading Patrick Mahomes' pick by reaching the Super Bowl. Now, you guys all know that the Patrick that the Chiefs end up making, that pick was originally owned by the Buffalo Bills. If you go back and look at it, Buffalo turned the pick that they traded to Kansas City, the 10th overall pick, and they drafted three starters with that pick. They got one of the top corners in the NFL in Tre'Davious White. They got their middle linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, and they got their left tackle in Deion Dawkins. So they got three starters for the draft pick that they gave to the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's not kid ourselves here. But I also don't think that Buffalo needs to justify trading the Patrick Mahomes pick. I think it ultimately ended up working out for Buffalo. Now, they didn't get Patrick Mahomes in this scenario. But they drafted a guy who they think can be a franchise quarterback, a guy who they think can take them to Super Bowls, and a guy who they think is the answer to their question. But there is no justifying the trade of Patrick Mahomes. You have the opportunity to take the player of his generation. You chose not to take the player of his generation. You eventually got to somewhat of the right answer, but there's no justifying the trade to me.
Of course not. Obviously. There's never – I mean – didn't matter what happened, what you got back for Babe Ruth or if LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Mike Trout get traded. That's what we're talking about here. The best player in the league. It's impossible to get back the right kind of compensation. All that being said, Buffalo did do it right, though. I mean, they didn't do it perfectly right. That's what the Chiefs did, trading up to the number 10 pick and getting Patrick Mahomes. You obviously couldn't have done it any better. But as you said, Buffalo turned that pick into three starters. And then the very next year, they went out there, spent a top 10 draft pick. I think it was the 7th overall pick, and called Josh Allen's name when, frankly, not a lot of people were talking about a quarterback that was coming out of Wyoming. And for the first about year and a half, I thought they completely screwed it up and set themselves back the same way that Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold and a lot of other top 7 quarterbacks have. But now we can say that Buffalo got it real right. Didn't get it real, real right. That's Patrick Mahomes. But if you want to talk about the second best young draft pick at quarterback over the last 6, 7, 10 years, not Carson Wentz, not Josh Allen, not Josh Rosen, not Tua, not probably Trevor Lawrence, not Joe Burrow. I think it's this guy, Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say that yet with how Deshaun Watson played this season, and let's certainly see what that organization looks like because they have a lot of problems.
Would you take Deshaun Watson over Josh Allen?
Based on what they've done so far in their career, yes.
I would not. I think that Josh Allen's trajectory is he's not ever going to become Patrick Mahomes.
I think Josh Allen plays for a functional organization. I don't think Deshaun Watson does right now.
No question about it. But I also think that Josh Allen, he's a winner. I think if Josh Allen was down in Houston, they might have won a couple of more football games. Now, who knows what the Bills would look like with Deshaun Watson. That offense would be incredible.
Watson's proven to be a winner to me. I just don't think he's in a winning situation.
I hear you. I think I'm going to take Josh Allen. We're splitting hairs here. Those are probably going to be two of the top three, four best young quarterbacks in the league. I think I'd take Josh Allen.
I think sometimes we always want to make there be winners and losers in trades. Like, I think Kansas City and Buffalo are both winners. Now, Kansas City is the resounding winner of the trade. To me, it feels a lot like in the NBA whenever Luka Doncic got traded for Trae Young. I think Trae Young's a fantastic player. Trae Young might be a guy for the next 15 years, averages 25, 12 assists, and 3 rebounds. He ain't Luka Doncic, though. Like, Luka Doncic is going to win multiple MVPs. Luka Doncic, I feel pretty confident, is going to win an NBA championship at some point in his career. I don't know that for Trae Young. I don't think Trae Young's a bad draft pick by any means. I don't fault the Hawks for making the trade. But that's what this feels like. Yes, you drafted three stars. Yes, you got Josh Allen eventually. And that's perfectly fine. But if you ask Buffalo right now, would you trade all of those things for Patrick Mahomes, their answer would be clearly yes. It reminds me of another NBA example. You can draft Hakeem Olajuwon. Great player. Top 10 big guy in the history of the league. You could have drafted Michael Jordan. You much rather have Michael Jordan in that scenario. So I don't think this is to condemn Buffalo for the trade, but to the headline's point, Buffalo can justify trading the Patrick Mahomes pick by reaching the Super Bowl. I don't think there's anything Josh Allen is going to be able to do in his career to justify that the Bills have the opportunity to take Mahomes. And now knowing the kind of organization, Mahomes certainly would have worked given how they've been willing to build around Josh Allen. There's no reason to think they also wouldn't have done the same for Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes would have had a lot of success in Buffalo.
Completely agree. Josh Allen will never catch Patrick Mahomes when it comes to accolades or money or commercials or championship rings. He might be the second best. He might get a couple, but he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. I will say that he definitely closes the gap quickly if Buffalo wins this football game and then goes on to win the Super Bowl. Then they've both got a ring. He will have beat him head-to-head in the postseason, and then his contract's due. So, again, I think it's a – there's definitely a gap there, but Josh Allen has closed it as the season's gone along.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Rich Gannon of CBS Sports. Rich Gannon will be on the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. Coming up next, Sean, there's a question I want to ask you based on one of your feelings you have had all season. We'll do that next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Rich Gannon of CBS Sports. Today, we are celebrating the career of Philip Rivers, who has retired from the NFL. Here's another Philip Rivers moment.
Chargers, first and 10 at their own 23-yard line. They're going to run a screen. And it's intercepted! Intercepted Justin Houston, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City and Justin Houston taste the sweet nectar of the end zone on his first pick six of his career.
So text line 913-576-7610 if you guys want to tell us what your favorite Philip Rivers memory is. We're playing some of his memorable turnovers, interceptions, fumbles against the Kansas City Chiefs. Rich Gannon will be on the show coming up in a little bit. I want to ask you this question, and I mean this with a lot of respect here.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to say that you're shook, because I did feel like you were a little shook during the Raiders game.
No, I wasn't shook.
But I will admit, playoff energy, Sean, ain't nothing like the regular season. You love telling us during the regular season about this gap between the Chiefs and all these other teams. But so far in the playoffs, you ain't really had that energy. Last week for Cleveland, you were a little worried about the running game. You were a little worried that Kareem Hunt was going to come in here and run over Kansas City, that it was going to be personal, that Nick Chubb was going to run over Kansas City. You were a little bit worried. You ain't been talking that talk this week against the Buffalo Bills. Now, maybe it's because Mahomes is a little bit up in the air and a little bit in question. But we've been doing this show now for 3 days. You have not mentioned this gap between Kansas City and everybody else. Do you still think it exists, or do you think that Buffalo has closed the gap? Or with the uncertainty with Mahomes, you ain't feeling as boastful as you normally do?
Well, this is the playoffs, so I'm supposed to act a little different. You're supposed to act a little different. The team's but in school, do you remember sometimes when the principal would come in, but she wasn't really watching you or he? They were watching the teacher, making sure they were doing their job. The teacher was nicer and they did a better job. I feel like that's what's going on here. Like there's a difference between normal me and playoff me. And playoff me shows respect to a Cleveland team that I thought had the capability to run all over the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I'll admit, you were right. I was wrong. They chose to put it on Baker's arm, and he threw the ball almost 40 times for just over 200 yards and ultimately lost the football game. I think my plan probably would have worked out better if they would have let Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb run the football a little bit more. So, yes, I thought there was a chance that Cleveland was going to run all over Kansas City.
Do you
yes.
think there's a chance that Buffalo can win this game? Because I remember, and we can pull the audio here, at the end of the season, you thought that Kansas City could win this game by 2 touchdowns. I'm just saying that's not the energy that I'm feeling this week
Buffalo. If Mahomes would have stayed on the field, I thought the Chiefs were about to put up a 40 spot.
I agree.
I thought Mahomes looked great, and I thought they were going to roll Cleveland. It didn't happen. One concern that I don't have, if Patrick Mahomes is on that football field, is if he's going to look like regular Patrick Mahomes. I've seen a couple of times he's come back from injury. Hell, I saw him come back when his knee was on sideways a couple of weeks later and look better than ever. So I think if he's on that football field, then the Chiefs win this game comfortably. Now, I also think that Buffalo is a very much improved football team, and I would argue that of the four teams left, these are the two best teams left in the entire tournament. So I do have a lot of respect for Buffalo. It took me a while to come around. Rob was right. I was wrong. They've got Josh Allen. He's the second best young quarterback in the league. Sean McDermott might be the best tree off the Andy Reid branch. All that being said, the gap is still there. The gap that I've been talking about the entire year, hasn't gone away, because since I talked about it, the Chiefs have won every single game, and albeit, yeah, it's been a little bit closer in most of those contests than we thought.
I'm just saying is, like, I've noticed your tone and demeanor toward Buffalo has really changed. Like, you're giving Buffalo the respect that I think they deserve. I'm not condemning you for your stance. I'm just saying is, you would laugh in the, like, if this was week 17, let's say it was a must-win game for Kansas City, you'd be laughing in the face of Buffalo.
The entire
right
time
now.
I said somebody's going to play in the AFC Championship game. I don't think that was really going out on a limb, right? I just wasn't ready to predict. Look, I think that a lot of people thought that Buffalo was a good team heading into this year, and then they also changed their opinion as the season went along. I was the only person for a while that was talking about Baltimore. I was the only person for a while that was talking about Pittsburgh or Tennessee. I will say that Buffalo is the one team that remain constant. I mean, if you look at them since they lost the Chiefs, which was a hell of a long time ago, the only other game they lost was on the Hail Mary. So I'm not pretending like Buffalo's a bad football team or not an equal to the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just, we're going to check the boxes coming up on Friday, and we're going to check almost every single one for Kansas City.
Yeah, I think that this game is pretty close. I am worried about the Mahomes injury and not the head injury. I'm worried about the foot injury. Like, one part of what makes Mahomes so special, just part of it, is his ability to be a dual threat quarterback and his ability to not just take off and run, but his ability to extend plays.
Especially in the playoffs.
If you get a little bit of a rush, Mahomes can then evade the rush and get outside the pocket and then create a new throwing lane for himself. I thought it was pretty clear before the injury, Mahomes looked really uncomfortable with his foot. Nothing to do with his head, just how he was moving around at the end of plays, all of that. I thought Mahomes looked really uncomfortable. I know we talked a lot about the head injury. We should talk about the head injury. If he doesn't play in this game, which again, none of us think is going to be the case, it's going to be because of the head injury, but he's still going to have the foot injury. And from everybody that you've talked to, the foot injury isn't going to just magically heal itself over the next 6 or 7 days. So I don't think we're going to see the same elusive escape artist Mahomes that we've seen. So I would say the gap that we think exists between how great Mahomes is and where Josh Allen is, that closes by the simple fact of Mahomes isn't going to be able to make all of the special plays that he normally can make.
And more than that, I wonder if they're not going to call any running plays if Patrick Mahomes is out there based on, I mean, how many design running plays have we seen from Patrick Mahomes in his entire career? 10, 12, 15, there hasn't been a lot of them. And how many times has the result been awful? I can name two different instances. So I wonder, and I know this is the biggest game of the year. You win this one, you go to the Super Bowl. If there's going to be any sort of hesitation from Andy and from EB to go, all right, most of the time we just go ahead and run an option or a quarterback dive with Patrick Mahomes, but we know what happened last time. We don't want to put our backup out there. I wonder if there's going to be any sort of hesitation with the play call.
You know, my stance on this is going to be the same. If you think Mahomes is healthy enough to go out there and play, then Mahomes is healthy enough to do all of his responsibilities. I've never been on this, hey, let's not run the quarterback sneak because it went poorly. Let's not forget, with the same $500 million quarterback, this team ran a wide receiver pass with Mahomes 2 games ago.
And he scored the first touchdown of this game we're talking about with his leg.
So if Mahomes is healthy enough to go out there, and he's a warrior, and he's going to gut through it and deal with the head injury and deal with the foot injury, I'm not saying you're careless. I'm not saying you're reckless. But it is the AFC Championship game. It is the chance to go to the Super Bowl. You do get a bye week at the end of this to let the toe rest up a little bit, let the head rest up a little bit, try to rejuvenate yourself as much as you can before the Super Bowl. So if they clear Mahomes to play and he can go out there, then I want them to operate like Mahomes is healthy enough to run the offense that they normally would run. That's not saying put him in harm's way. That's not saying calling 13 design runs. But if the RPO is part of your base package and what you do, then run the RPO. If it's a 4th-and-1 and a quarterback sneak and that's the best play call that's there, then you run the quarterback sneak and you try to advance the first down and try to do everything in your power to win this game and advance to the second consecutive Super Bowl.
I actually don't even think that's a luxury, to be honest with you. I think it's a necessity because this Chiefs running game, as good as Darrell was last time out and as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the first time that they played the Buffalo Bills, let's not pretend like the Chiefs are going to go out there and rip off another 200 yards against Buffalo coming up on Sunday. They're going to need Pat to run. We'll talk about this later on the show. I thought you made a good point yesterday. Essentially, what Le'Veon Bell ended up being for this team is LeSean McCoy. Like, you're going to look back at both their careers and go, damn, that was really impressive. In the case of Shady, probably a borderline Hall of Famer. Not necessarily here in Kansas City, though. So I don't know what Le'Veon Bell's role was or is currently for this football team. When it comes to running the football, I think they're going to need Patrick Mahomes to run a little bit.
What percentage chance do you give Buffalo to win this game? Because I know you. I know we've done this enough where on Friday you'll be like, wait for my official prediction. And then you'll have Kansas City winning this game by 17 points. What percentage chance do you get Buffalo to win this game?
Pat's on the football field?
Yes, I believe Pat's going to play.
Then Buffalo has a 22.5% chance of winning.
Coming up next, we'll catch up with Rich Gannon of CBS Sports, the former MVP, the former All-Pro. Rich Gannon joins us next, brought to you by Aurora, the official heated apparel partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're happy to head to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest. He is brought to you by Aurora, the official heating partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Former NFL MVP, former All-Pro, also with CBS Sports. Rich Gannon joins us on the show today. Rich, let's start with this. You know what it's like to be a backup quarterback and then be inserted into a game coming in cold. How impressed were you with what Chad Henne was able to do?
I was really impressed, especially given the situation. You know, you just never know. I always say it's harder to prepare for a game as a backup than it is a starter. You know, the backup doesn't get any reps hardly in practice, especially a veteran backup like Chad Henne. You know, all those reps go to Patrick Mahomes. It's not only that, but even in the meeting room, all the conversation, all the questions, all the feedback is really directed to the starting quarterback. And so, you know, it's a lot of learning that has to go on and has to be initiated from yourself. You know, you've got to be able to, you know, be a self-starter. You got to be able to try and get any mental reps that you can. A lot of the backup quarterbacks will go out early and try and throw to some of the receivers, the younger receivers, the practice squad guys, just so they can get some reps. They'll take the reps from the scout team reps in practice, just so you can get any rep that you can to keep yourself ready, your arm ready. And I just think that his huddle command was excellent. It didn't seem like it was too big for him. He had been in that moment before. I think about the throw on fourth down, as easy as it is, you know, a staple throw in the West Coast system, the old sprint right option. I mean, the throw was perfect. The anticipation, the timing, made a big throw to Travis Kelce in a critical situation. So, to me, that's why you have that insurance policy, right? People say, well, why would you pay a backup quarterback $1 million or $2 million, whatever it is? Well, because if you've got a playoff team, you don't want to roll the dice. You don't want to lose Patrick Mahomes for a game or for a couple games and miss the playoffs or miss the opportunity to win another world championship because you don't have a reliable backup quarterback that could step in and keep this train rolling down the tracks.
You bring up the call on fourth down to Tyreek Hill, the sprint right option. What about calling that play in that situation? Because even on the broadcast, Romo was surprised that they make the play call, and I think most coaches go for it in that situation, but they more than likely run the football. What did you make of the decision to throw the ball in that spot on fourth down?
Well, I'm not surprised. It's, you know, if you sit in those meetings with Andy Reid and you sit in the meetings with any play caller that's been in that system, and I was in that system for a long time, you know, 4 years in Kansas City, we ran the same system with Paul Hackett and Mike McCarthy and Marty Schottenheimer, and I went out to Oakland with John Gruden. And so, you know, we always say in a critical situation, you know, that's a play that's going to get dialed up. I mean, because it has answers. You know, it has answers. If the flat route isn't there, the quick shoot route, then you've got another option coming over. You've got an over route on the other side. You've got the ability for the quarterback to run for a yard. You know, a lot of times that was the play that Joe Montana, that was the catch to Dwight Clark in the NFC Championship game, you know, back in the 80s. That was the play. That was called sprint right option. And that's the play that we see a lot in these critical situations. And so we saw it earlier. The Chiefs ran it earlier in the season in a critical situation to win a game. So, you know, it shouldn't have come as a surprise to the Cleveland Browns of what was coming. You know, you could think run, but that was also a viable option and something that Andy went right into his bag of tricks and had ready to get dialed out.
Right now, we're talking to Rich Gannon with CBS Sports on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes this week is obviously the biggest story. He's the top story. What did you think of the hit on Patrick Mahomes that took him out of the game?
I had absolutely no problem with it at all. Anyone who does, I think, just doesn't understand football. I don't think there was any intent to hurt him. I don't think it was a cheap shot. I don't think someone lowered their helmet, his helmet-to-helmet contact. I just think it was a player trying to make a play in a critical situation to get a stop. I think it was unfortunate. I think just the way he went to the ground, the way he banged his head, obviously, you know, he was in duress, you know, and was concussed. But, you know, I think that it was a good sign to see him, you know, obviously jog up the tunnel to the locker room. I think he was feeling better. I think he listened to Andy Reid's post-game comments and some of the talk that's come out of Kansas City since that he's doing better. He's got time, obviously, this week. He's in the concussion protocol, but I'd be really surprised. I'd be really surprised if he doesn't play. And I think, you know, he doesn't have a history of concussions, and everybody's different. You know, everybody heals differently. Some guys, the following day, they feel fine, 100%. No problem with recall, no problems on the cognitive test, the baseline test. Some players have problems. You know, some players have headaches for 4 or 5 days or a week. Some players have problems focusing, concentrating. Some players have problems with bright lights. So it just really depends. But my sense is I'd be surprised, let's just put it that way, if he's not under center this weekend.
So the head injury is obviously one issue right now that Patrick is dealing with. He's also dealing with the foot injury and turf toe. For people that maybe don't understand, what is turf toe and what challenges do you think that could potentially present to Mahomes on Sunday?
It's very painful, and it's very difficult to treat. I mean, the best thing for it is just rest, and that's just not going to happen. You know, you have practices, and you've got games that you play. I remember, I'll give you a great example. Charles Woodson had a real good case of it. He would get it injected on Sunday, play the game on Sunday, after the game be in a boot on a boot, and, you know, after the game, and it'd be in the boot on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, out of the boot on Friday, injected again on Sunday, did that for like 6 or 7 weeks. And it was just excruciating. It was so painful. And to play on that type of injury. So there's different, obviously, there's different extents to the seriousness and the significance of the turf toe, but it is painful, especially for a quarterback. You got to push off, you got to turn, you got to twist, you got to rotate to throw the football. You got to plant and cut, those type of things. So, you know, my sense is that Andy's going to be, look, I said this the other day, after every game, there's always a couple plays everybody would like to have back, whether it's a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, a quarterback. There's always 3 or 4 plays. I could have made that play better. I could have made a better throw. I could have made a better check, better decision. Even for the play caller, I think you look at Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, there's a couple calls that they'd like to have back in that game. My sense is that call, you know, with the option there on fourth down was a call they'd love to have back, because you consider – you know, his pass when he hurt the knee, when he's got the turf toe, the fact that he could get a big hit. I mean, you just don't want to put him in those situations too often. And my sense is you won't see that the rest of the season. You know, you won't see that this week. And the Chiefs are able to win this week and go to the Super Bowl. I don't think you're going to see a lot of called runs for Patrick Mahomes.
Rich, I remember a while ago we had a conversation. You were saying that part of being a great quarterback is learning to play at less than 100%, that you're going to be nicked up, you're going to be bruised, and mentally you got to fight through it for the team, and you still have to go out there and put on a big-time performance. Obviously, this is a big-time game. What kind of mental challenges does a player go through when they have to play at this level, at this magnitude, when they don't feel 100%? Because even if Patrick plays, and I agree with you that I think he's going to play on Sunday, there's no way he's going to be close to his normal self with how he feels.
You're right. The other issue, so there's a couple things. So first and foremost, I say it's hard to play the game when you're healthy. It's really, really hard when you're not 100%. So, but a lot of players this time of the year aren't 100%, whether they're nursing a knee or a back or a hamstring or whatever it is. The other issue is that if a quarterback misses one day of practice, so just say he's not able to practice on Wednesday, they hold him out of practice on Wednesday, that is significant. That's more than half. That's about 50% of the reps that you're going to get that week in practice. It's all the base run game, the base passing game. Sometimes it's an introduction to the red zone, a third down. I mean, there are significant reps he'd be missing. So to me, that's a disadvantage, because even the great players need the reps, right? And then you know, you go out there and you play these games. You're playing against better defenses, better coordinators, you know, better players, better cover corners, better blitzers, better quarterbacks on the other team that don't turn the ball over, that able to score points, better head coaches that understand game management. So everything is magnified. You know, the mistakes are magnified. You turn the ball over, it's usually worth 4 or 5 points. You know, it's so that's where, you know, every situation is so important. As you mentioned, if you're not 100%, I would say this, though, about Patrick Mahomes. He's played games where he's not been 100%. Remember the knee injury a couple years ago when he came back? Knee injury against Denver, and he came back, what was it, 3 weeks later and played. And you know, he adapted his game. And I think he has the ability to do that. He functions really well from the gun. I think he understands pressure. He knows where his quick answer throws are. He knows how to, you know, not take unnecessary hits. And I think we'll see that type of play and performance from him on Sunday against a pretty good Buffalo defense.
Now it's Chiefs and Bills, Rich. And, of course, these two teams met earlier this season. How much can you take away from that first matchup, and how much better has Buffalo gotten as the season's gone along?
Well, Buffalo got surprised. You know, I did the Bills, I think, the following week or 2 weeks later, and I remember talking to defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier and head coach Sean McDermott, and they just said that they really put together a game plan to eliminate the explosive plays from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and really not let them throw the ball down the field, and that a lot of it was, you know, not necessarily stop the run. Well, weather was certainly a factor, but I just think that Andy Reid, the brilliance of Andy Reid is his ability to change and adapt in game. He doesn't have to wait till halftime to make changes. And so they came out and they just had great success running the football. I think they ran for almost 250 yards in the game. They just pounded them into submission. And you know, that's, you know, I still, when you look at Buffalo, that's I don't think that's the strength of their defense. They're a little bit undersized in the front, the quick guys, the fast flow guys, guys that come over the top, but you can knock them backwards. And I wouldn't be surprised, look, especially considering, you know, Patrick's situation, my anticipation is he'll play. But, you know, you want to be smart. Certainly don't want him running the football, but I think the ability to run the football, you know, can be a huge benefit in this game. But, you know, look, what do you take from that game? The Bills couldn't stop the run. And I think they'll address that. I think they'll go back and look at that game very closely and make sure that they have that addressed. But at the same time, when you decide to commit to stopping the run, then you expose yourself in the back end.
We always talk about the young quarterbacks in the league, Rich, and it feels like the last few doors, besides Patrick Mahomes, it's been a bit of a revolving door. Has that door kind of stopped on Josh Allen? Are we all now of the opinion that it goes Patrick Mahomes is the best young quarterback in the league and then Josh Allen's next?
Yeah, we've got some good young players. You know, Deshaun Watson was a good player. I think you look at the improvement that Baker Mayfield made this season, really cutting down on the mistakes and the interceptions and the turnovers. And I think you look at Josh Allen, another quarterback that had some problems with that early in his career. He also had some accuracy issues. He completed 52% his rookie year. The number jumped to 58% in his second year. And this year, at times, it was over 70%. I think he finished around 68%. So, you know, I think he's the most improved player in the league this year. I don't think there's any question about that when you really go back and look at this guy's the season that he had. And I mentioned to you before, if you take Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers' season and the numbers and the success that they had, you just take them off to the side because clearly they're 1 and 2 in the MVP race. The guy that's third is Josh Allen. I mean, he had an MVP season. He had an amazing season. Look at the touchdown-interception ratio, the number of the passing yards, the accuracy, the completion percentage. And you also look at his rushing. I mean, you know, he rushed for a bunch of touchdowns. He had some big runs in games. He was the leading rusher in a number of games this season for the Bills. He ran for a couple first downs every week. That is a big part of his game and a big challenge, I think, this week for the Kansas City defense.
Right now, we're talking to Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP, former All-Pro, for a couple of more minutes here. Final two questions, Rich, and we'll get you out of here. Phillip Rivers decided to call it quits today. What are you going to remember most about Phillip Rivers? And one debate we have on the show whenever the Chiefs play the Chargers or when they play the Colts is, do you think Phillip Rivers eventually ends up in Canton, Ohio?
What I remember most about him is his toughness and grit. I mean, I need you to make the argument hasn't been a better quarterback in the history of football throwing the ball from a congested pocket, you know, muddy pocket, people around him, big bodies, arms and elbows in his face, and he just would sit in there with a tough jaw and make great throws down the field. I think his competitiveness, you know, he never missed a start in his career, which is amazing. And I think, without question, the guy's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I think you look at the numbers, you look at the consistency, the production. Now people are going to say, well, he never played in a Super Bowl. Well, he didn't have a lot of postseason success. How much of that are we going to put on the quarterback and not so much on the poor defenses that he played with at times, the poor offensive lines that he played with, the turnover at the coaching position and the front office. I mean, all those things, and yet the one constant was Phillip Rivers. So my opinion, without question, Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Last question here, Rich. The Chiefs and Bills, is it the only game on Sunday? Obviously, you have the NFC Championship game. You have two first ballot Hall of Famers. Aaron Rodgers, probably a top 10 quarterback all time, and Tom Brady, widely regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. Who do you like on Sunday in the NFC?
I like the Packers. Look, legacy is important for these players, every player, but particularly players like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl, and I think his legacy in his mind won't be complete until he gets a chance to win another one, and he's got an opportunity to host a NFC Championship game at Lambeau, something he's never had the ability to do, and I think the Packers will take advantage of it. In terms of Tom Brady, I mean, could you imagine if he goes to a 10th Super Bowl with a different team? You know, 9 Super Bowls, won 6 of them with the Patriots, and then 3 of the losses, he played an MVP-type game. You look at the 2 games against the Giants and the loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, and he played well enough to be the MVP in those games. So it's been a remarkable run. It's going to be a great game. My sense is there's so much of the focus is going to be on the two quarterbacks that we forget about the defense. And to me, that's going to be the difference. Look how well the Buccaneers played against Drew Brees and the Saints last week. And they played really well in the first matchup between the Bucs and the Packers. That, to me, could be the bigger story, not just the quarterbacks and their legacies and what's at stake for them, but look at the way the defenses play in this one against two of the premier, and as you mentioned, first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That, to me, is going to be the big story.
That is Rich Gannon joining us on the show today. Former NFL MVP, former All-Pro. He is also with CBS Sports, and his appearances are brought to you by Aurora, the official heating apparel company of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rich, really appreciate you coming on with us this season. Thanks a lot.
You're the best, brother. Talk to you soon.
Always good to catch up with the former NFL MVP. Rich Gannon joins us every Wednesday at 4:30. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We'll also play the best of what Ian Rappaport had to say of NFL Network, who joined us earlier today, for everything you need to know regarding the health and status of one Patrick Mahomes. Someone on the text line asked, what's up with Buffalo's pass rush? Is it good or bad? They got a middle-of-the-road pass rush. If you want to go by sacks this season, they were 16th in the NFL at sacks at 38. Kansas City was 19th in the NFL as a team with 32. So a little bit better pass rush than Kansas City, but nothing you need to be overly concerned about. I think that Kansas City's offensive line, I thought they did a perfect job managing Buffalo's pass rush, certainly with the run game the first time they played each other. Buffalo's pass rush isn't anything you should be worried about heading into this game.
No, their secondary is good, though. I would say that's probably the strength of their defense. And I think now it's a good time to give my guy, Mecole Hardman, just a little bit of credit, because we were saying for days heading into last week's game how they're going to make up for the absence of playoff Sammy. And I'm not saying that he was playoff Sammy or anything like that, the guy we all love, but Mecole Hardman definitely was that guy that stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, he did exactly what the Chiefs needed him to be. I was concerned on who was going to get the 40 to 50 or the 50 to 60 yards and who was going to step in, and that's exactly what he did. 4 catches, 58 yards. I don't have anything bad to say about Mecole Hardman. He made one dynamic play in the game.
Cool.
That's all you needed him to do. You don't hear any complaining from me when it comes to Mecole Hardman and how he played. Like, we talked about it on Monday. I thought guys stepped up in this. Like, Chad Henne obviously stepped up in the face of Patrick Mahomes not being there. Darrell Williams stepped up with no Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell not being a major factor. Sammy Watkins out in this game. Mecole Hardman stepped up in this game. Like, you don't hear any complaints from me from the other guys on the team. The guys who you deem to be the role players, the guys who need to elevate their play and make an impact on the game, I thought did so. That was a big reason why they won.
I still don't think you can take a lot away from the fact that these two teams played earlier this year. Most of the time, when you play a team earlier, you can say, okay, this worked out well, or our game plan was successful here, our offensive line was dominant. I really don't think anything's going to be the same. I don't think the result, I don't think the style, I don't think the usage. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran the ball 26 times for 161 yards, and the Chiefs rushed for over 2 Bills as a team. Does anybody in their wildest dreams see any of that happening? And on the flip side, the Chiefs held Josh Allen to 14 of 27 for a buck 22. There's no way that Josh Allen is that bad slash the Chiefs defense is that good. So I know the Chiefs won the game the first time around, and most of the time you can say just do what you did the first time. That's not the case in this particular game.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We have been celebrating the end of the career for one Phillip Rivers. We'll see if that results in him landing in Canton, Ohio. He certainly should go in the Chiefs' ring of honor for plays like this.
Second and 8 for the Chargers from their own 22 in overtime, tied at 20. 2x2 again. Tight formation on the left side for San Diego. Rivers, the throw, hit as he throws, the ball's out, picked up by Rivers, he goes down and covers it up back at the 12. Tom Bahali hacked the ball out, but recovered alertly by Phillip Rivers, a loss of 10.
I don't know if you guys want to admit this or not, but I'm going to miss Phillip Rivers, man. You knew any time that the Chiefs went up against the Chargers, whether they were in San Diego or Los Angeles, they were always good for these kind of moments.
First and 10 at the 15-yard line. 20-20 tie. Rivers up. Tonight fumbles the snap. He fumbles the snap. There is a pileup at the 16-yard line. A fumbled Senator quarterback exchange about the only hope Kansas City has. Kansas City's got the football. Studebaker's got the ball. Kansas City recovers a Senator quarterback muff by Phillip Rivers.
That's the fourth turnover.
Amazing with 48 seconds to go in the game.
I still, in all my years of watching football, and some of you have watched it far longer than me, I've never seen anybody fumble the kneel down before. Like, we've seen some wild stuff. I've never seen a team have the game 100% in the books. All they need to do is completely the kneel play. And he fumbled it. That's the most Phillip Rivers thing to ever happen. That is the most Chargers thing that ever happened.
Or he heard the footsteps of the great Andy Studebaker. Give my guy a little bit of credit.
It
Maybe
was the
that
kneel.
Happened. You think it was the kneel?
How many football games do you think you've watched in your life?
Thousands upon thousands.
Can you think of any other instance in which the team fumbled the kneel and lost possession?
I believe Herm Edwards had the real famous play on what was supposed to be a kneel down in like the, what was it called? Like the Miracle of the Meadowlands or something like that.
But that actually wasn't a kneel. That was before people started kneeling. Because that play made people start kneeling.
You're telling me that was pre-kneel, Rob?
They hand it off. He fumbles. Herm takes off and scores. They actually tried to find a safer play because that play happened.
Then the answer is no.
I'm just saying. Think about how many football games we all have seen. I cannot think of another example. I'm not saying nobody on the text line. I'm sure it's some Rockhurst versus Webb City football game that you went to. Something wild happened. I cannot think of another instance. It happened to the Chargers. The craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Craziest thing I've ever seen.
I bet he gave a double dadgummit after that one because that'll really piss you off.
That's when he gave the worst day ever. Oh. That's the gif on the sideline when they show him mouthing and he says the worst day ever. It should be the worst day ever. You did something that's never happened before in the history of the league.
They found a lot of ways over the years to screw up games against the Chiefs. I remember missed kicks at the end. I remember botched snaps. I remember them giving up big leads. That was the cherry on top, though. Like, if you ask me what's my favorite Phillip Rivers memory of all of them, besides today when he retired, it's got to be that one. I mean, how do you lose a game in that fashion? That's incredible.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You guys thought we were going to get out of 2021 without at least one of these? Rob, hit the music!
Oh,
today, some of you might know there was a transition between presidents. We don't got to get into it. You know what happens at the end of any presidential term. The president pardons people. Joe Exotic was patiently waiting for his pardon. He was so confident that he was going to get it. They had a limo outside of the correctional facility willing to pick my dog up.
A real limo or a hearse like I took to my junior prom?
They had a real limo waiting outside the prison waiting on the word. Maybe this was like an Uber situation where you call the Uber, you're like still doing stuff, and then they call you like, yo, I'm going to be out there. Give me a couple of minutes. And then when you go outside, they just drive off?
Yeah, I don't think that works with the limo company. I think that's just the maybe Uber and Lyft.
Well, that pardon never came. Joe Exotic, who was in year one of a 22-year bid, did not get his pardon today. This might be the last time we ever play this, man.
I don't know if
we'll ever get another Joe Exotic story. It's over, man. It's over, bruh. This was your best chance to get out, dog. Carol Baskins, I heard, reportedly very excited that Joe Exotic is still going to be in custody.
She should be.
It's over, man.
I shed a tear. I didn't think I'd cry over this news, but I'm actually very upset.
So Joe Exotic.
No, I'm not. I could care less.
Joe Exotic, keep your head up, my G. I don't know if I can put some mummy. I don't know if I can put some money on your books. I don't know if you need some ramen noodles or some honey buns
you
or cigarettes.
You know he's in, right?
I don't know what. I don't
conspiracy
know what's hot
for
in the
murder. You want to put some money on that guy's commissary account? Go ahead.
If I had the information, I definitely would give Joey for the entertainment that we've gotten from the television show and on this show, the content. I'd put $5 on Joe Exotic's books.
On the real.
I don't know how to do it.
I was thinking this earlier. It'd be so weird to be Joe Exotic because you were never famous. You were just like some weird country bumpkin, Oklahoma zoo owner, weird dude. And then you became probably the most famous person nobody had ever heard of in the year 2020. Now, obviously, we had COVID and a lot of people couldn't get out of their house. And it was a different year for all of us. But he's never been out in public, out in the real world. As somebody important.
Well, I'm sure in cell block D.
I mean,
D,
to be fair, he ran for governor.
Cell block D, the man,
huh? He ran for governor hoping to be famous. Yeah, that was like his big move. I'm going to be the governor.
I mean, that was
backfired.
Maybe, that was maybe the theme of Tiger King, that some people are willing to do everything to be famous. Coming up in a little bit, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. And if you missed anything from Ian Rappaport, we will play it for you. Stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.